Indonesian hoodies from 1994 are my favourite kind of
hoodie.
Of
a bohemian style, apparently. So said the seller, from what I've heard.
The seller, sure.
Yes.
On that note, hello everyone and welcome to tonight's episode of Transparent Dishwasher Egg, the fifth. My name is Alfie Webb.
My name is Tom Kiddle. Alfie, I don't think I have anything for you this week.
What, no banter? No
I don't know, do you have something for me?
I don't know. I mean, not really.
Have you sorted your car?
Depends how you define sort your car. Oh, if you mean, have I got rid of the mould? No.
Oh, no.
If you mean, have I done anything to sort the car? Also, no.
Is there any yes? Are there any positives? Oh.
The car works, which didn't used to be the case. You could count that as a positive.
I mean, starting is a good place.
Yes, yeah. A clutch that comes back up when you let go of your foot.
Oh, no.
That is very useful, I find, in a car.
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that it would be the broken clutch might have been a bonus in some situations, but I think on the whole, I'm happier with it working.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And on today's episode of Transparent Dishwasher Egg, we have two guests again. It's quite a common theme, isn't it, having two guests?
Yeah, well, if it ain't broke,
don't fix it. But you do need to fix your car.
Okay, sure.
The first guest we have today is Charlie Smith. How are you today, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Tom. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. How's life going for you at the minute?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I have a car that isn't full of mould.
You're one up on Alfie already.
I don't know. Depends how you count it. Because the way I look at it,
some character.
Yeah, the way I look at it, those mould spores are just thousands of tiny little passengers.
Ah.
So, Charlie, I'd like to ask you one of our random questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Selecting right now. And it is, if you could transmit a 30-second message to everyone on Earth, what would you say?
I would probably pretend to be God and just tell them that their God is real. Really confuse everyone.
Nice.
Okay.
Wait, which God would you pretend to be?
I'd just say that I am their God and
cover all ground.
Yeah. Yeah. They just everyone would think they're correct.
Huh.
Really confuse everyone.
Nice. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And our other guest on today's episode is Jack Raybould. How are you, Jack?
I'm very well. How are you, Tom?
I'm all right. How's life playing out for you?
Yeah, pretty good. I don't have a car, but I have a rather rusty bicycle at the moment. So life's pretty good.
I mean, does it have mould on it?
No, not to my knowledge. Only a tad of rust.
Something tells me you're not going to let this go, Tom.
Yeah.
A mould thing. It's a passing
get it
comment.
Sorted, man.
How am I going to get it sorted? I can't take it to a cleaner.
Get a new
COVID.
Car, get new seats, just kill it.
That costs money.
That is
lick
a good
it.
Point.
Lick it off.
Jack, I have a question for you, and that question is, if you could talk to ducks, what would you ask them?
Oh, I think I'd ask them, what does the bread taste like once it's gone into a pond? and probably what the taste is like, because, you know, I don't really want to try it, but I want to see why they love wet bread so much, and if pond water is any different.
I'm not sure whether it's the wetness that the ducks enjoy. Hang on, isn't bread meant to be bad for ducks? I think I read that somewhere.
I'm fairly sure. It's definitely not good for them. You're supposed to give them like sweet corn instead.
Sweet corn?
Oh,
yeah.
Never heard that one.
Yeah. You're always advised to give them like corn, sweet corn, any of that sort of stuff. Nothing bread-like.
Wow, I learn something new every day.
Yeah.
It's funny. Little known fact: ducks are my favourite bird. Mallard ducks, specifically. I think they are a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
I love a mallard duck.
I once had a couple of them living in my pond, and I have really? No idea why. It's a shit little pond. It's like tiny. It's a really, really small pond, and they just decided they'd live there. They lived there for a couple of weeks.
Wow. It's great stuff. None of this, of course, has anything to do with today's topic.
Not really.
Which is, the thing we are talking about today is space. Tonight, as we record this podcast, we are just minutes away from the landing of a rover on Mars. NASA's Perseverance rover is designed to seek out evidence of ancient life on the red planet and collect rock and soil samples for a possible return to Earth. To mark the occasion, we at Transparent Dishwasher Egg will be talking all things space with our guests. Because we like space. I don't know about you guys. I've always thought space was pretty cool.
Do you want to go to space?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? It's that... I think it's in Jurassic Park. There's this quote from one of the people. I haven't watched Jurassic Park in a while. It's a very good film. But there's this quote about, like, oh, it's just like... Everyone either wants to be an astronaut or an astronomer. Because... If you're an astronomer, you stay safe. But if you're an astronaut, you get to go to space. I don't know what I want to do. I do think it would be pretty cool to be an astronaut.
I think the only thing that would ever put me off going to space is the rocket. Because there's just something, as safe as it is, I could never trust a rocket. Because I've seen far too many films where the rocket's blown up. Something's happened on re-entry. I think the only time that people are going to start going to space is when it becomes a very safe way to get up there, such as, what's it, Virgin Galactic, and they use this, essentially, a rocket-powered little aeroplane.
And... Oh, of course we're back to the aeroplane. Of course you'd be saying well, that aeroplanes are better than rockets.
Well, it is my prime area knowledge. But the thing is, though, that I think that's the only way we're going to get safe people into space safely.
You say that, but the only times you see like rockets, everyone seems to be when it goes wrong. There's a lot of times it goes right, but they don't. All the news outlets don't just suddenly start saying, "Hey, a rocket went into space again and it went well." If it's just another satellite, you only hear about the bad ones.
Yeah, there are loads of satellite launches every year.
It's actually 99% effective going up in a rocket. It's only that so many things can go wrong that I personally get put off by it. There's a lot can go wrong. Whereas that Virgin Galactic system seems to be a bit safer. That's what I know, you know.
I wonder if it's more dangerous going in a rocket or a plane. I don't have any statistics for that. I'm sure Jack has an opinion.
Well, a rocket, you have an escape system at the top, and that has I think up until about max Q, which is max dynamic pressure, where the rocket is experiencing the most force, up until about then, you can escape it. But once you're hitting orbit, you're then going to have to go through the whole re-entry phase. When you're in something like either the space shuttle, this Virgin Galactic system, you can tend to glide in quite safely. And I believe you can sort of stop the launch at any point, really. Rockets. It's sort of like you light a candle and up it goes.
That is
easy as that.
Kind of a bit of a misconception. They do have control of throttle. It's not like the toy rockets that you might experiment with every now and then where you light it and stand back. They do have throttle control. They can shut the engines off.
I think it's like these new fuel control ones instead of solid rocket fuel, if I'm right in saying.
Yeah, you can't really control the speed of solid rocket boosters. But liquid ones you can.
I think to start things off on this discussion about space, we're going to just ask a nice simple question. Is it worth it going to space? We keep on sending things up there. Why bother? Charlie, what do you reckon?
I think kind of. It's worth going to space, but I don't think it's worth people going to space. It's because we can learn just as much from rovers. It's quite dangerous out there for people as well. I'm currently doing my EPQ on it, how space travel can, like, it's quite bad for you with radiation. When you're safe on Earth, you have quite a bit of atmosphere above you to protect you from the sun. But when you're in open space, you have a thin rocket body. Just, and that's not really enough.
No, quite.
You said that robots could do the same thing, but I also did my EPQ on space. One of the points that I talked about is that robots can't have human intuition. They can't make decisions like humans can.
Well, we could control them from here. Yeah, there'd be a bit of delay, but we could just do all the work remotely without having to face any of the negative health effects that you might get from actually being there.
Yeah.
I think robots would be a really good way to set up a space station, either the moon or Mars. And it's sort of a good way of creating a space, a safe haven for humans before we get there, because you'll be exposed to all this radiation stuff. You might as well send robots up to kind of build us a nice house, and then we get there and all is well. That's if you wanted to go and do exploration of, say, Mars.
The thing, isn't it? Because one of the main reasons why people are interested in going to space, beyond just for the sake of going to space because that is amazing, is the idea that it could become necessary as a means of survival if things on Earth get a little too heated and or flooded. So then we'd have to be sending humans to space. Do you guys think that that could ever be a viable thing that would happen?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's in reach for everyone. It seems like it could possibly work as a backup plan, not anytime soon, but only for those who can afford it.
Right.
The only way it could become affordable is if you make getting out of Earth's atmosphere cheaper. That's the thing that's stopping it. And it probably will be necessary when, you know, well, if really the climate gets out of control.
He's already getting there. Have you heard about Texas?
That is amazing. Yeah. That is just crazy.
Like, yeah, that is ridiculous.
What is going on? Snow in Texas.
Yes,
it's like that negative 20 or something, and it's never that cold.
Well, I saw on Sky News Australia, they're predicting that there's going to be another ice age and that the climate is doing this. I'm not too sure how believable that is, but apparently in the next few thousand years, it's all going to get very, very cold and we'll have mammoths again.
Wait, I don't know whether we'll have mammoths. I don't know where the mammoths would come from.
They might be saying that just because Australia kind of has an issue with their politicians and oil. And coal, really. They don't really treat their country too well in terms of, everything.
That's a thing.
And the climate.
Our resident Australian expert can correct me. can correct me here, but don't they have? Isn't the Australian PM or president or whatever they have? I'm sorry, I don't know about Australia. Isn't he like a climate change denier?
Yeah, he is. It's not too good. So their news outlets might be trying to say that to incite change rather than to speak 100% truth.
It might happen.
Yeah, it could definitely happen. I'm not denying what they're saying, but considering where they are, they might be exaggerating slightly to get people on board with the PM off.
What was surprising was they just said there's no link between humans emitting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere and a rising sea temperature or anything. And I think it was that statement that really said, I'm not too sure where your evidence is quite pushing you. Because there's been some evidence of, yes, some cooling, but I think that comes with climate change. It's climate change as a whole. The world is getting warmer as a whole, but there are going to be some cooler moments, if you get what I mean. Yeah. And that's just the climate going haywire, really.
Yeah, it's not a fun time for planet Earth. Just
we're going to Mars.
Yeah. I think, obviously, there's this kind of justification of, we might need to go to space. But that's That's clearly not. It's not the kind of primary reason why people have been going to space since the 50s. There's something about space that makes people just want to go there. Why do you guys think that is? Why is space so fascinating to humans?
I think it's partially because we're so small. Like, in comparison to even our galaxy or even our solar system, we are so small that we have no idea what else is in the universe. There could be nothing, like forms of life, that is. But then there could be thousands, millions of different life forms that we want to know about because we like to know everything.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but there is a theory that, well, if we exist, then surely something else must, because there is so, so many other planets.
Are you on about the Fermi paradox?
I don't think so. Isn't that something to do with points on a sphere?
The Fermi paradox is to do with the lack of evidence we have for aliens, and that either aliens control us to a point where they go, oh, we're not actually here, so they're technically playing God, or that life can only evolve to a certain extent, so we can't get into type 1, 2, or 3 civilizations. You get to a point and then just become extinct, and it's through evolution that just naturally happens.
Yeah, I think I've read about that. I couldn't remember the name of it, but yeah, the idea that the fact that aliens have not made contact with us yet, it kind of suggests that there might be something going on there. That either they're not out there, or something's preventing them, or they don't want to make contact, or something. I mean, it's also kind of just a challenge, isn't it? Everyone likes a challenge, and the idea that we could go somewhere that no human has ever gone before, do something that has never been done in an age where most things have been done, is pretty exciting. I think it was some guy who climbed Everest. I think it might have been like George Mallory or something. I don't take my word for that. They asked him why he climbed Everest, and he said, because it was there.
Fair enough.
The whole existence of space as most of the rest of the universe that we haven't been to yet is like inviting someone to go and go there, which is just, it's amazing. And I think that's why people love space.
It's because it's so open and so alien to us, because it's completely different to anything we ever know, and people just want to experience something completely different, probably, and also see the world from a very different perspective. All the Apollo astronauts, they seem to have a very different view of the Earth. They see it completely differently because they've seen it from that look down perspective.
Well, it's something that not many people can claim to be part of that gang. Of spacefarers. I don't know. I've always just liked space. I like learning about the history of space travel and all that kind of stuff. It's one of those things where there's nothing that's not interesting about it. And loads of people like space, and there are lots of kind of depictions of space and aliens and stuff in fiction. What are your favourite space films / TV shows whatever? Jack, you got one?
Definitely. So there are two. My favourite sort of modern one has to be Interstellar, because that brings in quantum mechanics. They seem to visualise a black hole really well, and it's just so strange but so real. And it sort of brings in the absolute scale and complexity of time and space into this film, which is just incredible. My other one is Thunderbirds Are Go. Now, you may be wondering why. Now, it's because this was made back in the 1950s, and basically these astronauts take a big machine called Zero X out to Mars, okay? And they land on the Mars surface, and these like rock creatures start attacking them with fireballs. And I love how back in the 50s, space was like this big scary place full of monsters and aliens and people in silver suit spacesuits and things, and how nowadays it's viewed so differently. And Thunderbirds is just, it makes my day, that film. Really does.
Yeah. It's like the kind of here be dragons at the end of the map. It's we don't know anything about what's there, so feel free to put anything there.
I know that.
What makes space so cool? Anything could plausibly be out there. Well, semi-plausibly.
Yeah. It's just such a good program. And it was predicting, like, in the 1950s, they were predicting by 2050, we'd have, like, atomic-powered rockets that power people all across the galaxy and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it called, like, futurism or something?
I don't know if there's a specific word for it, but I do enjoy watching or reading or whatever people from the past trying to predict the current future, if you see
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I think it probably tells you quite a lot about what things were like when these things were written, about what they thought the future was going to look like. Quite an interesting historical exercise. Which is a bit too serious for this podcast. So let's
yeah.
get some more stupid space films. Charlie, what's your favourite?
The Martian. I love it.
I love The Martian. So good. Mm. Yeah. Really, have you read the book?
I haven't. I was meaning to after I saw it, but I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same story, so. Nice. They're both really good, film and book. Yeah, they just love it.
Slightly unrelated, I guess, from movies, but Jack mentioned, and there is actually a theory that we've technically done that before, because when the Americans were first testing out nuclear explosions, they did it underground, and they put this big manhole cover over the top of it. And in videos of the detonation, they could work out the speed of it by catching it in only two frames that it appeared in. And it might have even been the one, but they calculated that it might have been able to reach escape velocity. So we might have actually been able to send a manhole cover into space with a nuclear explosion.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Wow.
I love facts like that. The other week, actually, I watched Close Encounters of the Third Kind for the first time. Just really old space film. I don't know if any of you have ever watched it, but it's one of those ones where it's like a lot slower pacing than you get nowadays. Like, nothing happens for the first half of the film. And then at the end, it's just the guy just gets on the spaceship and goes to space, and then that's the end of the film, and you're like, wow. that was really cool and really well made, and I don't think I ever need to watch it again.
Yeah, one of those films.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad I've watched it.
I hate those films where it's just so slow and like takes forever to get one single point across. It's like, you could have done that in like 2 minutes, mate.
Yeah.
See, I don't mind slower pacing, to an extent. I like kind of like old films and TV and stuff, but there does come a point when you have to kind of say, yeah, you could have hurried this along a bit.
What's your favourite film, Alfie? Not your favourite film. That could be completely unrelated. Favourite space film?
I don't know. I don't know if it counts as a space film. It's got aliens in it, but I mean, we talked about it on the podcast the other week, aliens. The World's End.
Oh, yeah.
I really love.
Yes.
I'm a massive fan of the Cornetto trilogy. All the stuff that Edgar Wright's done, I love. And The World's End is no exception. So if you like films about aliens and alcohol, Watch the world's end. What about you, Tom?
I like Passenger.
I've watched that. What's that about?
The story is kind of not based around exploration, but like, there's this massive ship that's flying to another planet to habitat, and then two people wake up when they're not supposed to, like 4 years before they land. But what I find quite fascinating is the like ship that they're traveling in, because nowadays a rocket seems like just a big tube, right? Mm. But this thing's like got like elevators like spiraling around it and stuff. And it's just like, is that how it's going to become? Is that like how tourism's going to take place in space?
Maybe.
I saw something about that, which is that at the moment rockets need to be aerodynamic, but if we were to build them in space already, we could just send parts up and then assemble it in orbit. It could be any shape we really want.
Right, yeah, because it doesn't have to go through any air.
Yeah. Wow. Aerodynamics, you don't have to worry about shape.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we could get really crazy with it.
I suppose once you're in space, you don't need a lot of fuel either, do you?
No, you just get a bit and you just give it a push and it just goes. And then you have like a couple of engines to like redirect yourself if you go off course. Have any of you guys ever seen 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Is that the one with the monkey that like crushes the bone and it's like, dun, 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 that one.
Yeah, you'll all have heard the music from it. Yeah.
It rings a bell.
It is the weirdest film I think I have ever watched. Another one of those ones where you're like, wow, I'm glad I've watched that. I'm never watching that again. Like, it's really good, really well made, really atmospheric, but it's just weird. There's like, it ends with this weird space baby floating in like a blue thing, and there's like a room, and the guy's there, and he goes old, and it's just, there's this really creepy computer. That's probably the best part of it. Oh.
What's the plot line?
There isn't one.
So it's just random scenes from space, monkeys.
I mean, kind of. Like, it starts off with just, like, a good, like, it's been a while since I've watched it, so I might be misremembering it, but it felt like a good 20 minutes of just, like, monkeys just, like, hitting each other with sticks.
And then, like, brilliant film.
There's, like, this weird black obelisk thing that they go and find. But the thing with it is that it's like a stylistic choice not to have much dialogue or like people explaining what's going on. So you just get these great long sequences of no one talking and just silence. And then suddenly it cuts to like thousands of years later and we're in space and this guy goes to the moon and there's another obelisk. And then this spaceship gets sent away with like people in suspended animation on it, which is what made me think of it when you said passenger, Tom. And then there's like this computer that goes crazy and it kills these people and it's like talks in a really weird voice. And it's called Hal. And I don't know what to make of 2001: A Space Odyssey other than people in the 20th century were weird.
Yeah,
there's your review on it.
Yeah, that's my film reviews with Alfie, making judgments about an entire century of human culture based on one film. Another cool thing about space from my list of cool things about space is all the cool technology that we develop as we try to get to space.
That is a very good point.
For example, the Perseverance rover, which I think has landed by now, or should have done, is carrying with it a helicopter called Ingenuity. And if it is successful, that will be the first powered flight on another planet, which is pretty impressive.
It's such a crazy thing because there's like a lot less gravity, so you'd think it would be easier. There's a lot less atmosphere.
Yeah.
So there's less air to grab onto when you're pulling your little helicopter up.
Yeah.
I was watching a documentary on that little thing quite a while back on how when it was being made, and it's ridiculous. It's so light and still so big.
Mm.
I don't seem to trust the system that they've come up with for landing the rover, because essentially it comes down through a parachute, and then about 100 feet above the ground, it releases the rover, and then some rockets have to fire to lower it onto the surface.
Yeah, but they don't. The parachute detaches, then the actual rover is like on a rope from the rockets, because otherwise if the rockets get too close to the ground, then they suck up all the dust and everything would just explode.
Not ideal.
So hang on, I haven't looked at this, Tom, so explain it to me. So you've got like a platform above and then a rope and then the rover.
So your rocket's coming into Mars' atmosphere.
Right.
And it's going 13,000 miles an hour. And it's got to get to zero, obviously. Otherwise, crash landing, probably not the best thing for it. So then, like, it detaches from the main shit. And then it's got this massive heat shield on it, which slows it down by friction. Then it gets rid of the heat shield, and then it has a parachute, and then the parachute leaves, and then there's this like canopy sort of thing over the top of the rover, which then like sort of winches down the rover on a 20-foot rope. So then when it gets really close to the surface of Mars, it then detaches that rope. So that the thing with the thrusters on to make sure it lands in the right place can get away as far as possible without exploding next to the rover.
Wow. Yeah. That is complex.
It is a crazy then, intricate system.
They had to test all of it, not on Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the time that we know on Earth whether it's actually happened or not, whether it's been successful, it's already either landed or been destroyed. 5 minutes.
Wow. As
of how long it takes to get messages from Earth to Mars.
Wow. That's always been something that seems crazy to me. The idea that there are places like so far away that you physically cannot get there in less than 5 minutes. Like light travels there in 5 minutes. Such. Like, I, from a physics standpoint, I know how it works, but that it still seems crazy. It's the universe.
Isn't getting an instant message from the other side of the world quite fascinating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to talk to robots, like, really far away.
Yeah. That it puts in perspective the distances we're talking about here. Which is really quite astounding. And that's just like the next planet over.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could ever communicate, like, if we ever discovered wormholes and we were able to go, you know, travel vast distances across a galaxy, I wonder if you could ever send a message through a wormhole, if you ever direct a message somehow through the wormhole to eventually get to the other side.
I mean, Jack, if you really wanted to, you could get a big fat cable, plug it in on Earth, fly to Mars and plug it in on Mars. Instant.
Well, that is exactly how it works.
It is.
You can do it with a little
just
paper.
Hope it doesn't get burned up by the sun. You'll be fine.
And hope that it's strong enough to withstand when the two planets kind of get further apart when they orbit.
Just give it a bit of slack.
And hope that the signal can travel instantly down the wire somehow.
Yep.
Well, there's nothing more reliable than paper cups and string.
but actually, thinking about it, there's no air between Mars and Earth, so there's nothing to disturb the string.
That would
so in
it seems
theory,
like it would be quicker.
Could the message just carry on all the way from Earth to Mars? Or would it like would the energy dissipate in the string before it got there?
Ooh, that's a good point.
Where's the energy going to go?
It would go into the string itself, wouldn't it?
It would heat up the string. I'd imagine there'd be energy lost to heating up the string. But there's no energy going out into the surroundings. Or very little, at least. Only one way to find out.
Guys, let's try it.
Sign up to our Patreon. Fund us to try out a cup and string experiment from Earth to Mars.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Tune in next week. See how we did.
Yeah. So we've been planning this for years. Did you know only half of the missions to Mars have actually been successful?
Really?
Yeah, only half of like rovers or things that have wanted to land on Mars have actually landed.
Well, when you try something for the first time and you have no idea what the planet's like, you kind of got to chance it, I guess.
Oh, you remember that rover? It was in, I can't remember when it was. I think it was maybe the 90s or something, where it crashed into Mars because one of the teams at NASA was working in feet and one of them was working in meters.
Oh, God, yeah.
That is, oh, my God.
I've had lesson one of physics A level. They say, so these two scientists did this. Make sure you use the same unit.
Yeah, don't be this guy.
Imagine. Don't really understand how we'd manage that, because the entirety of NASA works on the metric system.
Yeah, no,
because it's so much better.
Being the guy or the person who had to go up to like the big boss of NASA and explain what went wrong.
Oh God.
Was it American-Russian partnership or something? And like the Russians were using.
No, I don't think it was.
I didn't think so.
I think it was like the Jet Propulsion Laboratory was using feet or something. Don't quote me on that. I'm sorry, JPL. did you guys see recently in the news? There's this guy who in Britain who was offered the COVID vaccine. And he was kind of surprised because, like, he didn't fit any of the priority groups.
Yes.
So he rang up his surgery to ask why he was being offered it. And they said it was because he had a body mass index of 28,000. And he was like, what? And it turned out his height of 6'2" had been entered into the system as 6.2 centimetres.
That's brilliant.
You'd be surprised someone didn't pick up on that like a bit earlier, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that seems like a bit of quite a big mistake.
Yeah, I guess they were to be doing it automatically. Just
perhaps they initially read it and went, well, we don't really want to offend him. He's 6.2 centimetres.
No judgment.
About the size of the needle that he's getting injected with. On the topic of unit conversions that they didn't really convert between, a while back there was a plane, I think it was flying between US and Canada, and they were told to put the fuel in probably litres, and the person putting it in probably just did it in pints, but they ended up with half the fuel they needed, and they only noticed after they took off, and they were already halfway there when they ran out of fuel.
That's not ideal.
Yeah.
No, it's not, is it?
Jack, like, when you're flying planes, don't do that.
Yes. It's kind of part of the pre-flight checklist. You go, yes, I have the right amount of fuel. You have to be pretty complacent and trustworthy of the fuel people to do that.
Hmm. Well, never trust anyone, I think, is the motto.
There you go.
Yeah.
I can't remember the details. So there was some story I read somewhere about a bank that accidentally or gave away or charged someone like 900,999,999 euros or whatever, because the clerk had fallen asleep on their keyboard.
Oh my.
Down the 9 button.
I'm sure you've seen Elon Musk's new rocket, which lands back on its top, and past two attempts, it's crashed both times.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to carry people to Mars, all this, that, and the other, and it goes like that and lands quite rapidly. Would you trust that?
Well, I'm assuming that he's not going to stick people in it until it works reliably, so well, I think I would. But at the moment, I don't really fancy blowing up.
Yeah.
In the event, Charlie, that Elon rang you up tomorrow and said, do you want to go on my rocket? You yeah. wouldn't be taking him up on that.
That depends. Is it is he the one who's going to be bringing me back to Earth?
Is he driving the rocket?
Well, I mean, I can't fly a rocket. I don't know about you guys, but...
Elon and Charlie road trip.
But I think the thing that really scares me is that you are literally hurling towards the ground, and it's in the last 5 seconds or so... it fires some retro rockets and you all of a sudden stop very quickly. And there's like, you know, there's no chance a parachute could stop in time or anything. And I wonder if we're going to be able to now not even trust not just trust parachutes, but now trust rockets to get us down safely.
Surely you could have like an ejector seat type thing that you'd have in a jet. So well, if then... you're coming towards Earth and then suddenly your rocket that's supposed to catch you doesn't work, you could just chuck you back up in the air a little bit to actually have a parachute.
I think they're playing on thinking, like, about,
have a second try.
They're playing on playing like about 40 people doing these things. So unless you can get 40 ejector seats to go at once,
you could have them all in a circle. Like, so it'd be like a firework, but with people instead of sparkles.
It's raining people. I mean, we've talked quite a wide range of topics here. I think it's probably about time we started thinking about wrapping this up, but just quickly before we go, quick fire question round, everyone. Would you rather...
Alfie, can we put some like intense music over this?
Sure, that's your job in editing.
Intense music time starts now.
Intense quick fire question round. Would you rather be the first person to go to Mars or meet an alien but you can't tell anyone about it? Jack Raybould.
Meet an alien.
Charlie Smith.
Go to Mars.
Tom Kiddle.
I'd say go to Mars. What about you, Alfie?
Go to Mars.
Mars. Three to Mars, one to aliens.
Well, that was the only quickfire question I had, so intense music ends now.
Nice.
Well, I think I'd go crazy if I couldn't tell anyone about meeting an alien.
See, I've always
what happens if you did tell someone?
The alien's
not allowed to,
or
you physically incapable? Oh.
They want to keep a secret, Charlie. They don't take kindly to people breaking their promises.
I've always wanted to meet an alien. Love the idea of it.
Would be pretty cool.
So amazing.
I think it would change your whole view on life.
You might not be able to talk to them. They are an alien. You get to meet them. Alfie said nothing about being able to communicate with them. Just kind of show up and look at them for a bit.
Yeah.
Thank you all very much for joining us. Thank you, listeners, for listening.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I think it's been a pretty good podcast. What do you think, Tom? Okay.
I think it's been quite the pleasure, especially as moments now, it's happening. Rover is landing.
Yeah.
It might work. Yeah. It might not.
As soon as I'm out of here, I'm going to whip up the video online.
Let's wrap this up quickly so we can all watch the landing. So, guys, thank you so much for coming. Listeners, come to us on Patreon and support us, and
follow us on Instagram
and stuff. Bye. We want to go watch the rover.
Bye. No fun facts.
Okay. Bye bye.